Okay, Rabbi Yisai, today's daf is Nun Beis, and we're starting from Nun Aleph Omud Beis, five lines from the bottom of the Omud. You'll recall we spoke yesterday at some length about the inyan of when a husband sells a field to his wife. According to some, it's not a valid sale because he didn't really intend conveying the property to his wife. It was only Ligluye Zuzi Hudeboy. He wanted to discover a stash of unknown money that he suspected that she has. And this would be the vehicle by how he would find out if she has such money, by selling her property, selling to her property, and then she'd have to reveal and disclose the cash that she has hidden away. So similarly, we have a braisa that discusses similar types of issues. Tanur Rabban, ein mekamim pikdoinis min hanoshim, loy min hanoshim, v'loy min avodim, v'loy min atinoikos. A person who has been asked to be a shoimer, please hold on to this item or these monies for me. Says the braisa, don't take a pikdon from a married woman, not from an eved, and not from a child. What's the reason why? So in each case, says Rishbam, because ikala meimar, maybe these monies are stolen. The wife may have taken some money from her husband, the Evan may have taken from his Odoin, and the Tinnik may have taken from, says Rishbam, Mibes Bal Habayis. Sounds like from Rishbam we're not talking about a regular son in a regular home, but rather that he is in an adoptive home where there's an apotropis. In other words, he may be a Yosim, Rachmon Litzlan. So in each one of these cases, we are suspicious that these people have taken money that do not belong to them. Why would we suspect that? After all, why don't these people hold on to the money themselves? The fact that they're putting it with a shoimer suggests that they don't want their spouse, their odoin, their host to discover the monies, and therefore, I got a good place. I'm not going to put it under my mattress. I'm going to go and give it to a shoimer. Please hold on to it, and I will pick it up sooner or later. So don't do it, says the braisa. Don't accept those funds. And the Rishbam says, because it's osir l'sayaya yedei oivrei aveira. If it turns out that these monies are stolen monies, then you're helping out. You're an accomplice to this theft by agreeing to hide the funds, so to speak. So therefore, don't take them. But what happens if you did? Kibal mena isha. You took it from the woman. And now, 30 days later, 60 days later, whatever, the woman comes back and says, okay, I'd like to have my money back. Yachsal isha. You have to give it back to her. Because although we are suspicious that she may have stolen the funds, we certainly don't know that she stole the funds. And therefore, lechatchila, don't take the funds. But if she gave it to you and you're holding on to it, then you give it back to her whenever she asks for it. Then Mesa, what happens if Chas V'Shalom, she passes away? Yachsel Abala. Then you go and give the money back to her husband. Since her husband, Yarshin Ter Minatoira, V'Yorash Oysa, and therefore, it's as if you're giving it back to her. Nebuch, she passed away, you give it back to the husband. Continuing the Braisa. The Kibbal Mina Eved, what happens if you took the money from the Eved? You were not supposed to, but you did. What happens now? The Eved comes back a week later, a month later, I'd like my money, Yachsel Eved, you give it back to the Eved. Because although, once again, we are suspicious that the Eved stole it from his Otoin, how else would an Eved have funds? Now, there is, in fact, a way that an Eved can have funds. And that is, if a person goes and gives money to an Eved, Al Menas She'ein L'Rabach Rishus Boy, you can have a nice benefactor, a nice fellow, who goes over to the Eved and says, Eved, I'm giving you here $100, but only on the condition that your master does not own these, it only belongs to you. He is within his rights under the law to do that. And then it belongs only to the Eved, it does not belong to the master. So it's certainly possible that the Eved, who is putting up the funds as a pikadon, that these monies were really his. But nevertheless, Rishbam says, but there's still a greater likelihood that he stole the funds from his rabbi, because this is a rare occurrence that someone should go and give money to the Eved and say, al manas she'ein l'rabach rishus bar. So therefore, lichat chela, don't take the funds from the Eved. Good chance that they are stolen. However, if he comes back to claim his funds, yachzel Eved, give it back to him. Via meis, and if the Eved died, then yachzel l'rabbi, then you give it back to the rabbi, just like we said by the isha im meisa, yachzel l'bala, in this case via meis, yachzel l'rabbi. Now what happens if kibul min hakatan, he accepted money from a katan, not supposed to, but he did it. Now what do you do? If and when the katan asks, I'd like my money back, remember, by the case of the isha and the eved, we gave it back to them. Although we were suspicious, but we certainly didn't confirm that they are ganavim. So the chori, the same thing should apply to the katan. We are suspicious that he took it from his host, but nevertheless, if he asks for it, we should give it back to him. But the braisa says, no, yasalei segula. Now what's the reason why we don't give it back to him? Says Rishbam, because he's only a tinnik. Here it says katan, but we started off the braisa, v'loimena tinoikos. So presumably, this katan is the same as the tinnik. I don't know why the braisa changes terminology, but the point is, we're not talking about a mature 12 and a half. We're talking about a young kid, 6, 7, 8. And that being the case, says Rishbam, Eini yodea lishmar. You're going to give the money back to him. He doesn't know how to watch the money. And therefore, maybe he's going to, the money's going to fall out of his pocket, and, or he's just going to throw it out. And therefore, to make sure that we're giving it back to him, that he really receives it, Yasalui segula. What exactly is a segula? We'll see in the Gemara another 10 lines or so. There's going to be a machlekes. But the point of the segula is that you should be able to receive this money. In the meantime, we're going to hold it, if you will, invested in a very, very worthwhile type of investment. We'll see what that means. And then when the cotton becomes a gadol, we can hand over the segula and tell him, now it's yours, do with it what you want. The emes. What happens if the cotton passed away? Yachzel Yorshim, go and give it to his Yorshim, because although we suspected he stole it, but maybe he didn't, so give it to his Yorshim. The Kulan Sha'amru, any one of these three, the Isha, the Evan, or the cotton, if they said Bishas Misosan, when Chas Shalom they're passing away, in other words, the money is still with the Shoimer, and now they're about to pass away, and now they give their last will and testament, and they're saying, Shoploinihen, do me a favor, I'm no longer going to receive it because I'm about to leave this world to go to the Olam Emes, but the monies really belong to Shoploinihen, give it to Ploini. Yase Kipirushan. Kipirushan over here means, do what they said, Mefurash, what they explained to you, what they said to you, follow their request. However, that's only the imlav, but if not, what means if not? So Rishbam explains, if you don't really believe them when they say shoploinihen, but you suspect that in fact these funds are really stolen, and you don't want to give it back to the original Baalim, because if you give it back to the original Baalim, then there'll be a shem. This person will leave this world with a reputation of being a ganef or a gazla. Right? This person left money. Let's talk about an isha. She left money with a shoimer. And she said to the shoimer, hold on to it. The shoimer is suspicious that she stole it from her husband, but we don't know. Okay, now, unfortunately, a week later, a month later, she was diagnosed with a terrible, terrible machla, and in no time, unfortunately, she's on her deathbed, and now the shoimer says, young lady, what do I do with the funds? So now, even though the braisa says, yasa kipirushan, do in fact what she requests, that's only if you assume that what she's saying is truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. However, if you suspect vimlav, maybe this lady is not telling the truth, why wouldn't she be telling the truth? This explains the Rishbam, because this lady is about to leave the world, chas v'shalom. If she's going to go and say, give it back to my husband, then the husband will say, oh, I knew all along, I knew this Sprintzer, my wife, that she is a ganifta and that she was stealing money and she was putting it away and stashing it and she didn't show it to me, and therefore she doesn't want to leave this world with such a reputation. Can you imagine? At the Levaya, the Maspidim will say, and until the final moment of this person's life, they were really wonderful people. Ganovim v'gazlonim. She stole from her own husband. Can you imagine? It's not going to leave a very good taste in the mouths of the mourners or anyone. And therefore, that's why she is saying, go and give it to Mr. Smith. That's who I got it from. It doesn't really belong to me. It didn't belong to my husband. Give it to Smith. So therefore, if you suspect that something is amiss, it wasn't Mr. Smith, it was from her husband, then what do you do? Yasa pirush lepirushin. Then go and figure out your own explanation. In other words, ignore what the person said, in this case the woman, and instead give it to whoever you think it really belongs to, for instance, her husband. If you look at the Rishbam about 8-9 lines into the Rishbam, first he says, Yasa kipirushan, yachzer hanifkid. Hanifkid means the shomer. Lo'isa ployni shepirshu elu, the person that he or she specified. However, hachi garsinan, vimlav. Yasa pirush lepirushan, kloima, what means imlav? Imloi mehemen lahu nifkad. If the nifkad, meaning the shomer, doesn't believe, shabikon shal oisa ployni hu, el shabalam shalahem hu, that really this belongs to the husband of the wife, or the master of the eved. They're ashamed, they're humiliated. Can you imagine they leave this world and then people say about them, do you hear that the final moment she went and said, give the money back to my husband, you know, these monies that I stole from him. Then she'll have a reputation as a ganav, gazlan mit a ganav. Therefore, yasa nifkad pirush achal pirushoy. If the nifkad, the shoymer, smells a rat, that really the funds do not belong to Yankel Smith, belongs to the husband, then do your own pirush yachal balein shel el v'loy li oise plani. Good. So that's the yasa pirush lepirushan. Ignore what the deceased or about to be deceased says. Give it to the one that you really think it belongs to. And now the Gemara is going to bring a real life story. To Bisu de Rabba Bar Bachana, the wife of Rabba Bar Bachana, Kikashachva, when she was about to pass away. Now, she was, in this case, not the one that left the Pikar, not the Mafkid or Mafkida, but she was the Shomeret, or Rishbam used the term Nifkad, she was the Nifkedet. Someone, quote unquote, left money with her. In this case, not money, but it was really earrings, says the Gemara. So she's about to pass away, and she says to her husband, Rabbi Bachana, Omra, Hani Kippa, you see these earrings here? The Marta Ubenei Barta. They do not belong to me, they really belong to Marta. I know some of you are thinking Marta is the name of a lady. We have Marta Bas Baisus from the story of Tisha B'Av and the Chorban Beis Hamikdash. But in fact, we're talking about a male by the name of Marta. You see the Rishbam right before the wide lines. Marta Shim Chochem Ochiv Shur Reb Chia. Reb Chia, who was the uncle of Rav, had three brothers. Marta, Aivu, and Chuna. And then Reb Chia was the fourth brother. So Marta is the name of a man. And this lady, Rabbi Bachana's wife, is saying that these earrings really belong to the Chochem Reb Marta, as well as to Bnei Brata. Bnei Brata means, and to his grandsons, the sons of his daughter. Belongs to the Marta household. Just as an aside, there's a famous tshuva of Reb Chaim Kanievsky Zatzal that someone asked him, is there an iser of loy silbash gever simlas isha if you give a woman, a baby girl, a man's name, and if you give a baby boy, a woman's name? Is there an issue with that? So Reb Chaim writes in his classic way that there is no Isur because we find, I believe it's 53 or 54 times in Shas and in Medrash and in Braisa and in Tosefta and Yerushalmi, which keep on going, 53 or 54 times where you have names which are unigender. Presumably this was one of the examples that Marta is Marta Baspaisus, similar to the English name Martha. That's referring to a lady. In our Gemara, it's referring to a man. And even today you have this, for instance, I'm sure you know people by the name of Simcha. Simcha is a man's name and a lady's name. You also have the name Yonah. Yonah, of course, was one of the Trei Asar. We learn it on Yom Kippur. And then you have ladies by the name of Yonah. And then Chuna and Chana. A man's name is Chuna. In fact, notice one of the brothers here, Marta, Aivun, Chuna. Here, Chuna is written with an Aleph. But nevertheless, it's the, I'm sure there's some people write it with a Hey. And then you have Chana, which of course is the name of a lady. So you see that there are many names, and Reb Chaim goes through the entire Shas, from Brochus to Nida, and all the Mishnayos, and all the Tesefta, and all the Yerushalmi, and every one of the Midrashim, and then the Svarim of the Rishonim, to go and write it all down in one long tshuva, all these names, where you find unigender names. Okay, anyway. So this is what Rebetzin Rabbi Reb Chana said, that these earrings belong to Marta and his grandchildren. So now, and then, unfortunately, she passed away. So now the husband, Rabbi Bachan, is wondering, what should I do with these earrings? Also, the Kamid Rav, he came in front of Rav, Amalei. He said, look at this braisa. Imahem Naloch, if you believe your wife, that in fact these belong to Marta, in other words, she had some sort of relationship with them of some sort, and that's what she said, it belongs to Marta, Nuaseki Perusha, then you got to follow exactly what she said. The Imloi, however, if you suspect that she just took the name Marta out of the hat, she didn't really mean, she had no real connection with this Marta person. Rather, Chas V'Shalom, says Rishbam, maybe Gonva Mimech, maybe she stole these earrings from you. In other words, Rabbi Bar Bachana was so immersed in his learning, he didn't know what earrings looked like, whether these earrings belonged to him. In other words, she may have purchased it from her own, not from her own money, but money that she stole from her husband. And therefore, if you're suspicious about your wife, that Chas V'Shalom, these are stolen goods, stolen meaning from you, Rabbi Bar Bachana, then I say Pirush L'Pirusha, then what you can do is you can ignore what she said, and you can keep it for yourself. The Ikri Ami, there's another version of the story, which is similar, but different. Ikri Ami, Hachi Amalei, I Amida Loch, Asei Kipirusha. If Marta and Bnei Brata happen to be, the word Amid in this connection means wealthy, if you understand that they are wealthy individuals, and apparently these earrings were owned by people of means, your average individual didn't wear such earrings because they were quite expensive. So if you understand that Marta is within that category of wealth, that it would be suitable that these earrings would belong to his family, I say Kippurusha. The Imloi, however, if Marta is an Oni the Evyoin, and he never would even dream of having such Tiffany earrings, which cost a Yam Mitgelt, the Imloi, I say Pirusha Pirusha, rather than you can keep these earrings for yourself. Okay, so getting back to the Brice, so we discussed at some length about the Isha, a little bit about the Evan. Now we're going to talk about the cotton. Remember, at the top of the Amud, it says that when the cotton asks for his money back, then don't give it to him. But rather, Yasalui Segula. Freitimara, my Segula. What does Segula mean? Rav Chisda Omar Sefer Teira. Rabba Bar Rav Huna Omar Dikla Di Ochel Minei Tamri. Both Rav Chisda and Rabba Bar Rav Huna both agree that we want that this cotton get his money back because perhaps it's his money. Now you're wondering, how would the cotton have his own funds? The Taptoises gives an example. For instance, maybe he found the funds. Maybe it was a metziah. And a metziah of a cheshet of a cotton belongs to them. He owns it. So now that he owns these monies, but since he is an immature kid, the Tap Rishbam said, don't give it to him, ena yodea lishmor. He may not be able to watch these funds if you give it back. So go and invest it in something where and so how do you define that? So now we have machlokes. Are we talking about something gashmi or something rochni? What do we mean rochni? We say every single morning in davening, after Eilu Dvarim She'en Lam Shir, and then we say Eilu Dvarim She'odom Oichel Peiriseyem Ba'olam Hazeh, Va'keren Kayemis Loili Oilam Haba. You eat the peiris on this world, but you give the keren, the principle remains for Yenevelt. The Eilehen, Kibbutz of Eng, Kibbutz Chasodim. What's the last one? Betalmud Torah Keneged Kulam. Learning, that is Perisem Bolam Hazeh, you get the benefit of Schar in this world, but the Iker Keren is the Olam Haba. Ah, so the same thing like Abedis Sefer Mais Kulam, so Rav Chisda Baya Sefer Torah. Because this child is going to learn the Sefer Torah until he becomes Bar Mitzvah, and hopefully beyond. And therefore, he has already the Peiris Boilem Hazeh. And the Keren Kiyemes Loi, by buying the Sefer Torah after his Bar Mitzvah, it's still intact. So he could keep it as a Sefer Torah for the rest of his life, or theoretically, he can go and sell it. But the point is that we have not wasted the money away for this child. We're keeping it in perpetuity. Similarly, Rabbi Ravuna Omar, he holds the same thing. It has to be paid the same Boilem Hazeh, Bar Keren Kiyemes Loi, Loilem Haba. But instead of a Dover Rachmi, he talks about a Dover Gashmi. And that is, go and buy a deco, go and go buy a date tree. That he'll be able to go and eat tomorrow in Boilem Hazeh. Meaning, as long as he's still a cotton, hopefully he'll have income for the next few years. And yet, when he becomes Bar Mitzvah, at that time he can continue to decide whether he wants to keep the deco or sell the deco. Because at that time already, he is of sufficient maturity, he'll make his own decisions. However, the Rishbam points out that it's got to be something concrete, like a Sefer Torah, or Lahavda, like a Deka. However, don't invest the money, stam, into a new company, a new investment, or whatever, says Rishbam, because if you put money into a business enterprise, Shemeye Ore Dvar Takola B'tiove, maybe the business is not going to succeed, and it will fail. We all hear about these startup companies nowadays, whether it's related to AI or related to IA, I should say, or AI, artificial intelligence, right? Or any of these computer companies. There are people, of course, who have made multi-millions on these startup companies. But similarly, there have been many people that have lost their pants. So you never know whether the investment is going to work out. So buy something concrete, either say for Torah, or buy a piece of land with a decal on it. And this way, when it says dikla, presumably a decal sheyesh boi karka. So that if the decal dies, you would have the right to go and replant it. And then in this way, the child will have a good segula, a good trust account, a trust investment, until his bar mitzvah, and then from there, he takes it from there. Barry, do you have a question?
Yeah, I said this over is very nice. I mean, in terms of its value and its utility. First of all, he's a young kid, he may not know how to learn from it yet. And secondly, once you own it, you can't sell it but under a certain very extenuating circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
So it locks up his money in a very illiquid situation, mm-hmm. because he can't sell that thing in Shurim, I think, or some other extreme things.
Mm-hmm.
So Sefer Torah is not good. It may be good ruchnius advice, but financially, everywhere else, whenever a Baal gets money from his wife, he buys property, he's Ochel Peros, and the wife owns the Nechsei Maluk. Why are we suddenly bringing in a Sefer Torah? The most obvious thing is that Apotropos takes the money, buys property, and the kid gets the income.
And that's very possible. I hear you loud and clear. Maybe that's exactly the reason why Rabbi Bar Rav Huna disagrees with Rav Chisda, and he says, Rav Chisda, you're being very frum and erlich, and that's wonderful, but for all the reasons that you gave, that it's an illiquid investment, since we want him to be able to support himself.
You can't sell it.
Yeah, 100%.
You can't sell it easily, if at all. Mm-hmm.
The Rishbam said back on Dafnun Aleph and Medbeis that presumably we're talking about not a child that has a father. He refers to a tinnik or a worried shema gonvi min beis Bal Habayis Shehem Dorim Sham. So apparently he happens to be an orphan who's living in an orphanage or living with a host, and that host is Baruch Hashem supplying him with his needs, food and all the rest. We're only concerned that maybe this boy is, since obviously he comes from a very unfortunate situation, maybe he's learned some bad ways and he stole some funds from his Balbus and now he gave it to the Shomer. Don't even take it from him, because we're worried that maybe they're stolen. If, however, you did take it, don't give it back to him, because he's still an immature kid of 6, 7, 8 years old. So apparently, support at this point is really not a concern, because he has the host that's taking good care of him. We want to go and keep this in perpetuity for the child. Now the question is, what is the definition of segula? So Rabbi Rav Huna holds exactly like you. Go and put it into some financial investment which is solid, not some sort of spurious type of speculative investment. And once you do that, you'll have periseim bo'ilam azeh, and the keren will be mekayim at least until his bar mitzvah. And from that point on, the son will make the whatever arrangement. However, kontra chizah, since his financial interests are taken care of by the host, then the school is going to give him a sefer Torah, because we want to guarantee this child a future, not only financially, but also spiritually. Hopefully he will learn, and he'll have malamdim that will learn with him, and maybe the host will learn with him, so on and so forth. So we said in the Mishnah that a father cannot have a chazaka on nechzi ben, the ben cannot have a chazaka nechzi av, because since the av u ben are one unit, and we're talking about a situation where the son is soimech al shulchan shel aviv, his whole, all of his finances are based on his father. So the father allows the son to work in the fields. The son, if he has any properties, he allows his father to work in his field. And they are, Baruch Hashem, you know, on the same page. They eat together from the same shulchan, in other words, from the same source. So then, even if one of them works in the property exclusively for 3 years, we do not assume that there is a chazaka. Rather, we assume that each one allows the other one to work in the field without any hesitation, so there's no chazaka after 3 years. Zoktimar, Omer Yosef, afil cholku. Rav Yosef says the Mishnah is talking about even a case where they are no longer financially interdependent, but they are independent, meaning that at some point the father said to the son, by now it's time for you to go out on your own, and therefore he gave him whatever fields for him, and he kept the other fields for himself. So once they made that split, then if the father is in the son's properties for 3 years, or the son is in the father's properties for 3 years, from this point we say, says Rav Yosef, afilu cholku, even if they split up, I might have thought now that if either of them adversely possesses the other one's property for 3 years, they have a chazaka. No, they don't have a chazaka, because even though they're financially independent, each one still retains love and affection for the other, so that each one is moichel the other. Sure, Yankala, even though you're independent, but I don't mind if you work in my property for 3 years, that's no problem. And Yankala says the same thing about his father. But Rava Amar Cholkulai, no. Once they are going and divide up the properties between themselves, and now the son is independent, if the son works in his father's property for 3 years, or vice versa, they gain a chazaka, that the other one should be moch and say, you know, you want to stay in the property, fine, but I want the tzibur to know that it doesn't belong to you, it belongs to me. So we have machlokes of Yosef and Rabbah. And as we'll see, almost everybody, and not Rabbah, and Rava. Some of the side changes it to Rabbah, whatever. Anyway, the point is that, as we'll see, everybody's going to line up together with Rava. Omer of Yermi Midifti. Oved Rapapi Uvda, Rapapi Dir Halocha Lamaisa, Chol Kulai Kirava. Or the other Girsa is Kirava. Similarly, Omer of Nachmer Yitzhak Ishtoi Li Ravchia, Me Hurmiz Ardashid. This is Ravchia that came from Hurmiz Ardashid. Rashi is silent. However, if you have the Rabbeinu Gershom on the side, Hurmiz Ardashid, it's about two-thirds down the Amud, 5 or 6 lines after where the Gemara ends, enter into the Rabbeinu Gershom and go down a few lines. Hurmiz Ardashid, Shehu Min Krach Shul Tunayos. Hurmiz was a very choshev city, a city of Shultan, like a capital city. And instead of the Ardashid, the Rabbeinu Gershom is Koydus the Ardashir. So he came from Hurmiz, which apparently was the capital city of a medina, of a state, of a country called Ardashir. So what did Rav Chiya say? Ishoi lei Rav Achbar Yankiv, Mishmei Rav Nachman Bar Yankiv, that Cholku loy, said Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, that Rav Chiya said in the name of ultimately Rav Nachman Bar Yankiv, Cholku loy. Cholku loy means that, like Ravo, like Rabbi said, that if you divided the property between the father and the son, then if either one stays in the other one's properties, no they can have a chazaka if the other one is not moicha. If you're not moicha, then you can establish a chazaka. Behilchos and aloch is taka like Rava, like Rava, cholku like Tanya Mihachi, ben shecholak the ishtashin is kasha, ben shecholak our case, hari henkishar kolon, they're like anybody else, that if you stay in a property for 3 years and the other is not moicha, the property belongs to you. Okay, itmar. Now we're going to talk about a situation where we have an estate. The father passed away. He left an estate for his children. The children are all relatively young, except for the Bechor, the Godol Habayis, and he has now become the apotropos of the estate, the guardian, the trustee, the executor of the estate that the father left over. And in that capacity, or perhaps in his own personal capacity, he signed a whole bunch of documents. And now the youngsters are now of age, and they are looking at the documents, and it says the name of the Bechor, let's call him for convenience, Yankel Smith. Yankel Smith signed on a whole bunch of properties in which people conveyed properties to Yankel Smith, and or that they lent money, or he lent money to others. And the question is, did he do it in his own personal capacity from his own personal funds? Or was he doing it in his capacity as an executor on behalf of all of the other brothers? So now that's a big machlokes between that eldest brother Yankel and his younger siblings. Is itmar. Echman achen choy, noisim noisim betoich habayis. Noisim noisim means he was in charge of the affairs of that shtub, of that household. But you oinois ushtarois yoitzen al shemoi. And there are a whole bunch of documents. What's the difference between an oinois and shtarois? Rishbam says oinois are shtarim mechira, which means bills of sale in which property was sold. And shtarois are shtari halvoa. Rishbam interestingly says, why is a shtar mecher called oinois or an oin? Because the pasuk says at the end of Vayechi, Koichi veracious oini. Yaakov Avinu said about Reuven, Koichi veracious oini. Veracious oini means the first of my strength. So a shtar is called an oina or an oin if it reflects a mechira of a property, because that's financial strength. I own a piece of real estate, as opposed to some sort of speculative investment. Well, a shtar is a shtar of what? Okay, so you have oinus yishtoris yoitzen al shemoi with Yankel Smith's name on it. The Omar. And now there's a dispute between the brothers. Did you ever hear of brothers having a dispute over an estate? How could that be? Well, unfortunately, it's mas and b'chol yoyim. The Omar. And Yankel Smith says, Shaliyeh, shenoflu limbi beis avi ima. The brothers are saying, how do you have money? We don't have any money. We're all yisoyim just like you. We all were supported by daddy, by tati, by abba. So, how do you have your own independent money? He says, you're forgetting one thing. We're only half brothers. We all had the same father, but we had different mothers. And I received this property from my Zayda, my maternal Zayda, which nothing to do with you, because there was a second Zivig, and the father married another lady. So that being the case, these really belong to me, and they have nothing to do with you. So now we have a big machlokes between brother Yankel Smith and all the other brothers, Amar Rav, all of Lahavi Raya. He's going to have to go and prove that what he's saying is true, because we suspect that really he was signing all these documents in the capacity of an executor, and it's not his property. Ushmul Amar ala Ach Lahavi Raya. No, no. The burden of proof is on the brothers that the funds belong to them and not to him. And Rishbam says that the reason why we put the burden on them is because since the document is signed by him and it doesn't say in the capacity of an executor, then we take the document on its face that in fact it was in his own personal capacity. So if they are challenging the bona fides of the shtar, they're going to have to prove it. Machloek is Rav and Shmuel. Omer Shmuel. Moibli Abba, Shemes, ala Achel Havi Raya, says Shmuel, that Abba is another name for Rav. Rav's real name was Abba Aricha, or Abba Arichta, and he was called Rav because of his godless as the God of Hador, so he called him Rav. It's Omer Shmuel, Moibli Abba, Shemes, that if this brother, the eldest brother, Yankel Smith, if he passes away, then the burden of proof shifts from him or from his Yorushim to the brothers. Right? Rav said that initially Olav Lahavirai, Yankel Smith has to prove, but if Yankel Smith passed away, normally you would say, okay, now the children have to prove, the bona fides, that the property belongs to them. No. Says Shmuel, the burden of proof now shifts to the brothers. And that's Zeh Shver Tzvashtein. Maschel Rapapa, why should that be? Klum Tainin Lahu Liyasmi, Midid Leitoim Lahu Avuoim. If the father would not have been believed with this taina, like in our case, the father said that this is my property. No, we don't believe you. Allah, you're right. You have to prove your case. Are we going to go and favor the assignment more than the father and go and say, yeah, we believe that it belongs to you and to your father. We didn't believe the father, but we're going to believe the assignment. It would be like, Yofa koyecha ben mi koyecha av. Since the schusim of the children of this Yankel Smith are all derivative of Yankel Smith, Yankel Smith doesn't own the property unless he can go and prove it. And here we're saying they get a free ride and the burden of proof shifts to the other brothers. What's that? That doesn't sound right, says Rav Papa. Moreover, I'll tell you, even Rava agrees to me. Because Rava apik zuga desarbala v'safa diagadata miyasmi b'loy raya b'dvar mwasim lahashul lahaskir. What happens if Yorshim, Yarshind, in other words, the father passed away, and now they're doing an inventory of the estate, and besides whatever monies he left, the father also left to them a zuga desarbala, that's a scissors that's used by someone who is manufacturing or repairing clothes, and safa diagadata means, you know, books of agadata to go and read. Now these are the types of things which are dvar masu lahashul lahaskir, that often neighbors will borrow from one another. I see you have a book collection. Can I borrow two of your books from one of my kids, or this and that? And, or, you know, I'm trying to cut a very big piece of fabric. Can I go and borrow your scissors? So these are the types of things that neighbors and friends lend very, very easily. Now, a person passed away. He left in the inventory these two items, the scissors and the safa diagadata, and the neighbor comes by and says, oh, by the way, those belong to me. Can you please give them back to me? And the children say, who says it belongs to you? Maybe it belongs to father, and now it belongs to us. Says the Gemara, no. Rava allowed the neighbor or the friend to take back these two items below your raya, because these are the types of items that are asri lahashu lahaske. Just like says the Gemara in the Amid Beis, "Kedushalach Rafuna Bar Avin Tavor Masuin LaHashul LaHaske." V'yom LeKuchen Ein Biyadi. If these are items that are freely lendable, that people on a regular basis go and lend these types of items, and they obviously had to have some connection with these items, and if they can prove that it used to belong to them, and everybody knew it belonged to them, V'yomar, and now the person says, "LeKuchen Ein Biyadi." Some other individual says, "No, no. They didn't lend it to me. They sold it to me. It belongs to me." No. He's not believed. Since why is he not believed? Because people freely go and lend these items. And if you want to prove that it belongs to you, nu olav lahavirai, you got to prove that it belongs to you. Otherwise, we assume it belongs to the friend. Similarly, said Rava, just like the father would have to prove it, olav lahavirai, the yisraimim aleim lahavirai. So Rava said that we don't give the children some sort of free ride, but rather, whatever their father had to do, he had to bring a raya, then the Yisraelim have to bring a raya. So that's why Rav Papa said, Shmuel, I don't understand why the burden of proof shifts to the other side. It should stay with the children, just like the father. Says, Yimara Kasha, it's a good gefrekt. The Kasha that you asked Rav Papa is taka good to Kasha on Shmuel. Notice he didn't ask a Kasha from a Mishnah or a Braisa. He asked it from Rava, and from Rav Huna Bar Avin, which of course are Amayroim, and the Gemara says Kasha. Now, there's a very important Rashbam here. It's important in the sense that it gives you an idea of the difference between Tiyufta and Kasha. As you know, throughout Shas, frequently we come across Tiyufta, and frequently we come across Kasha. Is there a difference between the two? Normally, most people learn that Tiyufta means totally, totally knocked out. You know, this is a knockout kasha, nothing to talk about. And kasha means a bistle shver, but we can try if we can, you know, a doichik pshat, somehow or other we'll put together an answer. That's the way we normally learn it. However, you'll see in the Rishbam, in fact, there are two pshatim in the difference between Akash and Tiyufta, and it's going to have halachic ramifications. What are those halachic ramifications? Going to the third line of Rishbam, here in the Amud Beis, Kasha, L'didon Kasha. We don't understand. Amai Amai Shmuel, Moidli Abba. Why did Shmuel say that if the father dies, then the burden of proof shifts from the father that died and from the Yarshim to the other side? Istakazir Shver. Nevertheless, Uposak Rabbein Chananel, Hilchasa Kishmuel, that Heichad, the Miss, Allah Achel Habiraya. V'chein Pirish Naktin Miraboysa, and so I had, my Rebbe said the same thing, Zal. Kol Heichad, Yomah B'Gemara. Ah, so now listen carefully. Whenever you find the Gemara Tiyufta, deploying the Tiyufta, Batlu Divrei Misha, Tiyufta Olav Ligamri. It's as if he never opened his mouth. Tiyufta means totally delete what this person's pushed the delete button. It's just totally wrong. And then if that's what it would say in the Gemara Tiyufta, that would mean we do not follow Shmuel. Avol Heichad the Olzim Kasha, Kihach, like our Gemara. Shmuel leibalu devarav. The Amrinan loy have a breira lehen. The butle Shmuel zule gamri. It wasn't clear to them that what Shmuel said was wrong. Eloi ashkechu piruka b'ushaita. At that particular moment that they were learning this shtickle Torah and this question in the yeshiva, they weren't able to come to a final maskana, and they were not able to give a teretz to the kasha on Shmuel. The talya v'kaim, and therefore it's kind of in suspense. The album, and therefore, since the Gemara didn't say Tiyufta, it said Kasha, the feeling of the Gemara is that we paskin like Shmuel, and we're going to have to somehow, somewhere, some way, figure out an answer to the Kasha. However, the Rishbam respectfully disagrees. Says Rishbam, no, ein nir b'avu b'kin, ein nir b'einai. Lo ishna Tiyufta, v'lo ishna Kasha. There's no difference between the two. So then why is the Gemara sometimes say Tiyufta and sometimes Kasha? I'll tell you why. Tekoya Milts Damiroi. If a Kasha or a Tiyufta is asked on Namoira, there is no difference. It's Chodi. V'layavi Iker. So Ibazoi, so why do we have different terminology? Elegabi Tiyufta mi Mishnah o mi Braisa Shoyach Lamema Tiyufta. If we're asking from a Mishnah or Braisa, that's a solid source. A Mishnah or a Braisa, like of Reb Chiya and Reb Oishia. Boy, that is a strong kasha of Tiyufta. If the Amiroim are asking, in other words, in this case, we brought a raya from Rava. No, Rava is no small potatoes, but Rava was not a Tana, not a Mishnah, not a Braisa. Then we use the term kasha. And Rishbam says, we do not paskin like Shmuel. I don't know may resh may Rabbi Yisrael going chayish kizesha omer Shmuel umaydeli abba shemaisa laachal of Yirai ain alocha kemoisa. So bottom line is the Rishbam says we do not follow Shmuel but rather we follow Rav. Then in all cases both the father and the Yorshim the sons in this type of situation where I don't know whether the father signed in his own capacity or in the capacity as an executor and ichshmek is a fishy smell over here. How did he have his own personal father? He said it came from his maternal grandfather. Prove it. All of the Havi Raya that these funds are yours and not the brothers. And that's how we paskin, says Rishbam, and we'll see that that's l'choir the way we paskin in the Gemara. And Omer of Chizda, back to the Gemara, third line. Omer of Chizda, Leishanu Eledein Chalukim B'Sasan. When do we say that all of the Havi Raya on the Gedoyel Hu Achim? That's Tavka, the Ein Chalukin. Ein Chalukin Bisasa means that the estate has not been subdivided even when it comes to buying daily food items. The word Isa, of course, means a dough. But here the dough means food, breakfast, lunch, and supper. Do we have someone that has allocated to each one of the Yorshim? Let's say there are five boys altogether, the Bechor and four others. Do we have that every single day either the eldest one or an apotropos or someone allocated to each one $20 per day, and they take the $20 to go and buy breakfast, lunch, and supper, whatever. That's called chalukim b'isasa. Here says Rav Chizda is talking about loy, that loy shona, that they didn't even have that amount of division of the estate. The estate was totally intact, and whoever bought the groceries bought for everybody together from the estate's funds. If in fact each one got a daily allowance, then perhaps the eldest brother was somewhat more thrifty, and he was very careful. All the other brothers spent their $20 allowance every single day for food, and if they had any extra money, then they bought some extra nash, some potato chips, and an ice cream, and all the rest. And the eldest brother said, fellas, a penny saved is a penny earned. Be careful with your funds. And they all laughed at him. And then guess what? After many years, all of those pennies saved, penny earned, he had a nice cash amount, and he used that to go and invest and buy properties and all the rest. Oh, so if there was Chalukah B'Sason, I heard a story like that, a real true story a few years ago, that there was a Zayde from the Haim, from Europe, and people in Europe, of course, were generally more modest in their means than they are here in the United States, and therefore, when money would come in, the Zayde was very, very careful, very scrupulous, very meticulous about every penny. He didn't want to waste a penny, a nickel. And his children and his Einiklech would always smile and smirk. Come on, you know, you're in America. And the Zayde held his own. Anyway, 20 years later, they decided to go and buy a house. One second, Shelley, I'll let you add your witty comments in a moment. I know you're always witted. Anyway, so this Zayde, 20 years later, decided to buy a house for himself, for his children, or whatever it was. And then it came to closing, and the lawyer said, okay, you know, which bank do you have a mortgage with? He says, I don't need a mortgage. Here's the entire amount. And he put the whole money on the table, and the children, Einiklech, were astounded. How did Zayde have that money? Wow, I can't believe it. He had all that. That's what I've been telling you for years. A penny saved is a penny earned. I kept these monies, interest in the bank, etc., it accumulated, I don't need a mortgage, and they saw Zaidi was right after all. Yes, Charlie, what would you like to say?
Did you coin the phrase, a penny saved is a penny earned? Did you coin that phrase?
No. Why do you ask? Why are you saying that?
You didn't coin that phrase?
Oh, they coined the phrase. Okay, it took me a half an hour to figure it out. Shkoyach, beautiful. Thank you very much. That was a good save.
That's a big question, whether it's a koi or a dvi.
Okay. All right. So getting back to our Gemara. So says Rav Chisda, Lo Yishanu, when do we say that? Olav Lahavi Rayel, and Ein Chalukim B'Sason. Avalukim B'Sason. If they have been having separate allowances and allocations on a regular basis, then Ein B'Sason Kimet. It's very, very possible that it's stuck his money, and every day of the $20 allocation, he didn't eat the whole $20 up. He put away $5 a day, and after a year or two, Baruch Hashem, it accumulated. Okay, so now let's go back to the Amud Aleph. The Gemara says the Amud Aleph that according to Rav, you have to bring a raya, all of the Havi raya. Raya b'mai, what would be a raya that it's his funds in his own personal capacity and not as an executor? Is a machlokes. Rav Amar raya b'edim. He has to have edim that come and testify. What would they testify? Says Rishbam, either that may isasoi kimet, that in fact there was a daily allowance and he put away $5 from his $20 and Baruch Hashem, it grew and grew and that's how he has his own funds. Or, like we said in the Amud Aleph, Me'avi Imo Yorash. Or then in fact, it's true that he had a maternal grandfather who is not related to the other boys and he yarshin from him. That would be the Rai Be'ed. Rav Sheish says, Omer Rai Bikim Mashtar. When the Rai Bikim Mashtar, he should take this shtar to the Bezdin. And the Bezim will check out the chasimas, and they'll put their henpik at the bottom of the shtar. Now, how is that going to help? That's only going to show that the edus is kosher. How does that help whether or not he signed the shtar in his own personal capacity, or in the capacity as an executor? So Rashi says, or the Rishbam says something fantastic over here, that when you bring a shtar to Bezdin for henpik, they are not just like a notary public like we have Bizman Hazeh, that they just check out the chasimas and notarize, but the Bezdin feels obligated also to make sure that this shtar is a bona fide shtar, not in terms only of the chasimas, but also the substance. And then when they see that it's signed by Yankel Smith, and they are aware of the fact that there is some Grachka, there's some commotion as to whether or not it was in his personal capacity or as an executor. Take 1 second. It's not enough just to check the chasimis. We want to find out and explore the background of the shtar. And if they're giving the henpik, it's a siman that not only are the mekayim the chasimis, but they are mekayim the substance of the shtar. That's enough. That is the raya b'kiyum shtar. Okay, so bottom line is we have now machlekes Rav and Shmuel, who has the chiyuv to go and bring, who has the burden of proof to bring proof. And in Rav, we have a machlekes between Rav and Rav Sheshes. What type of proof? Is a raya b'edim or raya b'kiyum shtar? So only Rav and Rav Nachman, her Rav HaShmuel. Question number one is, how do we paskin? Is it all of Lahavi Raya, or is it Alo Achen Lahavi Raya? And even if you say we paskin like Rav, like the Rishbam said, we paskin like Rav. Rishbam, by the way, says in the Amr Aleph, even though typically Halacha Kishmul be Mamayni, this is an exception to the rule where we follow Rav and not like Shmuel. Again, that's Rishbam Lishitose. Remember, according to Ben Chananel, he says we do follow Shmuel. But Rishbam says we follow Rav. So now in Rav, we have a machlokes. How does this fellow Yanko Smith, how does he prove that it was on his personal capacity and not his executor? So in machlokes, Rav and Rav Sheshes. So now Rav says Rav Nachman, Mar Kiman Tzvirle. How do you hold Rav Nachman? Omale. So Rav Nachman says, Ano Masisi Yadan. I have a braisa directly on point, on the first point. In other words, like Rav or Shmuel. The sign, what does it say in the braisa? Echman o achen shei noisa noisa metoich habayis. Our case. The oldest brother, Yankel Smith, is the one that is the in charge of the estate. V'yo'oynes ishtores yoytan al shmoi. And there are a whole bunch of ishtores that go out on his name. V'yomani says, Shalia, they're mine. Shenofel nimi beis avi ima. I got it from my maternal grandfather. All of the havirai, he has to bring the rai, not the achen. Exactly like Rav, and not like Shmuel. And the Rishbam points out that Rav Nachman only responded to the first Shaila. He did not answer the second Shaila, well, do we paskin like Rabbah or Rav Sheshes in terms of the form of Raya, whether it's Raya be'edim or be'kiyum hashtar. So, halach is like Rav. And now the Brisa continues, v'chein, and similarly, ha'isha she knows when they send his b'tei chabayis, if you have a mother that's taking care of the children. The father never passed away. She's an almana. And she is, Baruch Hashem, a very, very tichtiga. She's very, very talented. And she is taken over as the apotropis for the bayis. And she signed a whole bunch of documents. V'yomun, she says, Shalihei, this is my property. I got it from my father. Shenofalim beis avi abba. Now, it doesn't really, the Mefarshim say, it didn't have to say Avi Abba, it could have just simply said that I got it from Abba. But to be consistent in style, since the Yankel Smith, the Bechor, said I got it from Avi Ima, so here too he says Avi Abba, but it really means she got it from her father's side, nothing to do with her husband. Oi, mi beis Avi Ima, or also from her maternal grandfather. Olela Havi Raya, she has to bring a Raya, just like the son, Olav Lahavi Raya, the mommy also, Olav Lahavi Raya. Okay, makes a lot of sense. But they want to ask, my v'chein. This v'chein, says Rishbam, sounds like not only in the case of the son, but even in the case of the alman and the mother. What's the even in the case of the mother? What's the difference? V'chore, they're the same. So she went, no. I would have thought, Isha Kim de Shvichel Amilza. The lady is getting kudos. She is getting compliments from everybody. All the people in town, oh, did you hear? The almana, Mrs. Smith, what a tzedekah she is. She's taking care of the kids. And not only is she taking care of the household, she's taking care of all their financial affairs and making sure that they're properly invested and properly done. You don't need an apotropis. This lady really, she's so special and unique. Kim deshmich lamilza the amri, katorcha kami yasmi. And therefore, she certainly does not want to ruin her reputation if people are going to even have the perception or cast aspersions and say, oh, you see, she signed documents in her own name and it's really from the estate and her dumb, blah, blah, blah. So I would think for sure, like Goslam Yasmi, she would never steal. Otherwise, she loses that beautiful reputation that she has in the community, especially since she wants to presumably remarry. Kamash Malon, no. although we don't necessarily suspect her, but you have to be v'yisem nekiyem me'yashem me'yisrav, she has to bring a raya that in fact it's her money and it doesn't belong to the asylum. Right, in the Mishnah at the very end, after we enumerate, if you want to take a quick look at the Mishnah was Mem Beis Amud Aleph, where the Mishnah started off that the following categories of people do not have chazakas. The umnin and the shutvim and the arisin and the betrupsin, they don't have a chazaka. Lo ish chazaka v'nichsi ishtoi, lo ish v'nichsi bala, lo av v'nichsi ben, lo ben v'nichsi av. None of them have a chazaka, because in all of these cases we assume that the other real owner of the property was not moicha, because he or she was mochel. Yes, you can stay there, I'm not going to be moicha, but 3 years is not a chazak. Says down the Mishnah, the last three lines on Mem Beis Amud Aleph. When do we say that? The machzik, aval, the noisim matana, v'achim shecholku, v'machzim nechzei ager, no'al gadol paratz koshu harizu chazaka. Now we all know no'al gadol paratz, that's the way you make a chazaka if you're being kona. Now it sounds like from our Mishnah that by umnen shutvim arisin, etc., they don't get that din of Noah Godu Uparat. The Gemara wants to know, what's the difference between the first half of the Mishnah, B'medvar Mamurim Bach Machzik, where we're talking about the 3 year Chazaka, and by Noisim Matana, Achim Shecholka, Machzik Nechzeger, there we say, no, here it's different. It's Noah Godu Uparat, it's Koshu. What's the difference? Zhok the Gemara, B'medvar Mamurim Bach on Nun Beis Amid Beis. Are we saying that all those that we are now enumerating in the Mishnah, what means those that we are enumerating in Mishnah? These last ones that we're requiring, Otu Kulhani, Sir Rishbam, right before the wide lines. What we mean, I don't understand the Reisha, I don't understand the Seifa. We're saying that the Reisha, you're machzik with this 3 year period, and the Seifa, we're saying, no, God departs Koshu. The Medvar Mamurim. So, what's the difference between the Reisha and the Seifa? So, Kimar Chsur Mechzav Achitani. You have to go and add a few words. The Medvar Mamurim Bechazok Shiyesh Imataina. Kigoin Moicho Imaloi Machart, Velekech Imalakachti. What the Gemara is saying is a very, very simple answer. Although we use the term chazaka, the word chazaka has two different definitions. There's something known as a cheskas raya, and there's something known as a cheskas kinyan. Cheskas raya means a person bought a piece of property. How did he buy it? Makes no difference. Kesef, shtar, chazak, whatever it is. And now, he wants to make sure that this property will belong to him forever and ever, and nobody's going to challenge it. So he immediately occupies this property for the next 3 years, and he has Adam there watching him every day. He's working in the property. He's living in the property 3 full years. After 3 years are over, if nobody was mocha, it's now ironclad his. He does not have to bring any rayas, any edom, any shtar, other than two edom that he's there for the last 3 years. With that, he is. We know for sure now that that's called the cheskes raya. Cheskes kinyan means, since it says in Gemara, the Mishnah Masechtas Kiddushin, that the chosim sheyesh lemachrayas nikna bekesem b'shtar ubechazaka. What does it mean chazaka? That means I have to be there for 3 years and then I'm koina. Nah. I'm koina with a small no'al godar uparatz koshu. Just some small little tikkun in the field. That is the chazaka. And with that, I am koina. Dosh state in the Mishnah. In the ratio of the Mishnah, was talking about the cheskes raya. Bamed v'mamurim, that you're trying to establish that this property belongs to you because you've been there for 3 years. But if you want to be kona property, oh, like a noisem matana, achin shecholku. What happens? There you just do the cheskes kinyan of nodal no'al godar uparatz kosher. And that's essentially Gemara's teretz. So nochmo, Chsur mechzav achitani. B'med v'amun b'chazok sheish imatayin. This chazok sheish imatayin, that these are borrowed words that we've had before. But we don't mean that the chazok had a taina, didn't have a taina. We mean a cheskis raya. Cheskis raya, that the reason why he's there for 3 years is because he says, I bought it from you, that's his taina. I don't have the shtar anymore, but after 3 years I don't need the shtar, because I have eidim for 3 years, and after 3 years, loy mizdayer inish b'shtari. That's, for instance, kigoyin. I never sold it, it's been mine, and the kech says I bought it. So what do you have to do to prove if you don't have a shtar? I was there for 3 years worth eight. Meaning, we're not talking about tainus back and forth, we're talking about kinyan chazoka. Oh, if a person gave a matana, then there are no kesef that changed hands. So, bring a rai from chazoka. Brothers that split up an estate, or split up a shutfus. Once again, no money changed hands, it just split the property. Or a matzmenich say, again, someone, a ger passed away, leaving no children, no yarshim, so I go and grab his nechosim. So how am I coin of that? There's nobody to give a shtar or kesef to. Guess what? Then make them al-mahu. Now go to part of Oshu Harizu Chazok. Tony Rav Hoshia b'kiddush in the Bay Levi. Rav Hoshia went and he learned Kiddushin Bei Levi. Kiddushin means Masechtas Kiddushin, that was learned in the yeshiva of Levi. And Rishbam says here on the Braisa that what we're really referring to is that Levi was also Mesader Braisis, just like Reb Chi and Reb Oishi. You see four lines from the bottom of the Amid. That the Kiddushin Bei Levi is not only the Pesmenish of Levi, but also that Levi had been Mesad and Braises and Tiseftis, just like Rav Chi and Rav Oishia. And now Rav Oishia is learning those Braises. On the side it says it's not Rav Oishia, but Rav Sharvia. So he's learning some of those Tiseftis or some of those Braises, you see in the Maseres Hashas at the top. Anyways, he's learning the Braises. What does it say in the Braises in Kiddushin? No, got a part, it's Koshu. Now it adds the word Befonov Harizu Chazaka. Befonov means in front of the Mocher. You do know God about it. Harizu chazak. So Frank Yetz Raboishia, tell me, befanav inshalay, befanav loy, when you make a no God about it, it has to be in front of the moicher. All you have to do is go and do some sort of tikkun, and that shows that it's yours. Who was it there? Befanav. Omer Rabba Hachi Kamar. Befanav le tzarech le meimer le le chazeku kni. Shaloi befanav. Tzarech leimer le meimer le chazeku kni. So says Rob, it's very, very simple. You're now in the field. And we've already, Baruch Hashem, gone through the entire closing. And now the mocher shows the lekeach the field. The mocher has already gotten his money. And or he already has given over the shtar. So the kinyan has already been made in terms of the kesef and the shtar. And now this fellow, the lekeach, wants to show balus. He wants to make a chazaka. Says Rav, Hachikom Befanav, if the Moicher is there standing together with him, he doesn't have to go and say, okay, Yankel, it's yours, why don't you go and take over, here's the hoe, here's the lock, here's the key, do what you gotta, no gotta parts. No, 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 he doesn't have to say anything. I mean, just the fact that he's standing there and he's not screaming, hey, what are you doing to my property? He doesn't have to say anything. He can go on his own and be no gotta parts. Top of the army. But Shaloi Befanav, if the Moicher is not there, he's still staying in the closing room, how do I know that they have had a Gemiras Das, a meeting of the minds to go and sell? Then the Moicher says to the Keach, okay, we're done. Now it's all yours. Lake Chazek Ukni. So it's not a question of to perform a Nol Goda Uparitz, you have to have Befanav. You can make a Chazok even if he's not Befanav. The question is, this statement that the mocher typically makes to the lekeach, okay, it's yours now, take over, do your chazaka thing, no good about it. He only has to say that if he's not present. He's in the closing room, and he says, okay, it's yours, take over. But if he's there present, he doesn't have to say anything. Obviously, by the fact that he allows the lekeach to do his no good about it, obviously he's masking, and therefore, even without saying anything, it works like chazekukni. Mitzvah. Tomorrow we're going to discuss in greater detail in the Gemara what exactly are the minutiae, the details of the Lech Chazek Kni, of the Noal Goder uparetz kosher. What does that mean? That small little chazaka. We have to be continued tomorrow. And Rabbi said.